Lord bless each one. You may be seated. And we give everyone a very welcome in their service. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to thank Alva as well. And the organ. And Abigail as well. I was hoping I would get Trevor to come here tonight. And Trevor is a fellow we've met. He helps out in the worship at different wee meetings. And we were at, there's two Trevors. There's Trevor that does it as the church at Seskinore, and then there's Trevor what helps out with a song leading in Darkley on Seskinore. Just about everywhere he goes, he helps out. And he's real good at that. But Trevor Seskinore was playing the accordion, and the other Trevor says, I used to be in an accordion band, you know, but I haven't had an accordion on in years. And I says, well, get it on there till we hear. And I tell you, he put that accordion on, and it was brilliant, brother. Brilliant. And I've been trying to get him to come here to play Terry's accordion. Praise God. So make sure you always have it with you, brother. You should never go anyhow. Accordion's great. Praise God. The Lord bless you tonight. I know that some folks still missing Gary. It's Wayne Haldes and Samuel the family. Samuel has not been well at all. And he's coming around slowly. And we're praying the Lord will give him a full recovery. I told him he ate ginger root. He done the ginger root, he done the garlic. He said I'm still no better. But he's coming around now, praise God. But you know, when I heard about the ginger root and the garlic during the time of the lockdown, I made this concoction up, John. Sharon, come in. Sharon came in the kitchen and as you're getting chased, the smell of it, but I couldn't smell it. I couldn't smell a thing, I had no smell. But everybody else could smell it. But praise God. But you know, honestly, it was the Lord touched me. When Samson and his wife prayed for me, the Lord touched me and Mary Matthew as well. And we just thank the Lord, praise God. We're looking again in Exodus chapter 8 on compromise in Egypt. And the first compromise is serve me in Egypt. Serve me in Egypt. And Egypt's a type of the world, and that's the first place God gets us, is in Egypt. And he brings us out of Egypt. And the thing is with this message, you know, I should have been finished it, but I can't get it finished because it keeps opening up. Now, you might not understand what I mean by that, but it just keeps developing. And I'm happy enough that God keeps inspiring me and something more on it. Praise God. And then I thought tonight, I'd better tell you a bit about them plagues, because I don't want to just skip them. Now, I'm hoping sometime to come back into the book of Exodus and go right through the whole book of Exodus. That would take time, but I'm wanting to do that sometime as well. And just in case I forget, Sharon was showing me this evening, the wee bicycle shop in the town there, Burns's, it's up for sale. McAquarrie Wee Church. It's a fair size, 190,000. So if you know anybody that has a bit of money they want to give me, send them my way. God bless you, brother. You. God bless you, brother. God's good, isn't he? Isn't the Lord good? Praise God. The Lord is good. Praise God. Let's read Exodus. Exodus. Keep it in your prayers anyway. And think of it. You know, there's different places. It would be good if we had our own wee place for church. Exodus chapter 8. Tonight I'm reading from verse 25 to 27. I'll mention verse 28 as well. Let me just read you right down to verse 25 to 28 of Exodus chapter 8. And Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron and said, go ye sacrifice to your God in the land. And Moses said, it is not meet so to do, for we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. Lo, shall we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes, and will they not stone us? We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God. as he shall command us. Here's a key verse. And Pharaoh said, I will let you go, that ye may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness, only ye shall not go very far away. And then he says, entreat the Lord for me. I'll let you go, but don't be going too far. That's the devil. He'll release you. When you get saved, you get released. And the Bible tells us, and the Bible warns us, we're not to go back to the baggy elements of the world. And we get saved and we get released. We're not to go back. But the devil wants us to take us back. Let's just close our eyes for a moment tonight. We're going to pray. And if you have a need, just lift your hand up with every head bowed, every eye closed. Praise God. The Lord bless, the Lord bless, the Lord bless. Heavenly Father, we love you tonight because you first loved us. We thank you for the greatest gift, the gift of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we plead the merits of your precious blood on our lives and over this service and all in it tonight. We pray that every spirit will be subject to the Holy Spirit. I'm asking you for the hands raised tonight. You'll meet every single need. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Father, I take the Holy Ghost right now to help me. My thoughts, my body, my being, I submit it all to thee in Jesus Christ's name. And I thank you for the Holy Ghost. I pray for Samuel for full strength, for full health. Stir him up as well and bless his family. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Bless Brother Gary, Brother Ruth, Sister Ruth, all the family, the boys, girls, Lord, as they take the service in England for Frank, bless them. And Father, just have your way in the service, sir. And the meetings that lay ahead, and Lord, thinking of a place where we could have as our own, we ask for your guidance, for your wisdoms, for your provision. And of these things is from you, stretch your arm forth in provision. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Father, help us with this word tonight. Touch people in this room. Touch people that's not in this room. Touch people in our hearts that's near and dear to us tonight. Save all of our children. In the name of Jesus Christ, we'll give you all the praise and all the glory. Lord, if I've sinned in any way, forgive me. Sanctify me. Wash me afresh in your blood. In Jesus' precious name, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. First of all, here's the plagues. Matthew has them up. Good man, Matthew. I don't know if you can see them from where you're sitting, but these are the plagues that God brought on Pharaoh. And God brought these plagues on Pharaoh because Pharaoh refused to let God's people go. Now, yet with all, God kept hardening Pharaoh's heart. And every time the Lord brought a plague in Pharaoh, the Lord kept hardening Pharaoh's heart. And I personally believe God was wanting to show himself from a more difficult situation than we were already in. I believe that God wanted them to get to a place, like our brother John mentioned, where they knew they couldn't do it. But only God could do it. And sometimes we get to a place where we know we can't do it. Then we have to rest on the Lord. And we have to do what the psalmist says. But still I know that I am God. And that means you rest and do it. And here we see in Exodus 7, and I won't read all the scriptures, Exodus 7, 14 to 24. You can take all these down and study them at home. But the first plague was blood. The Nile, along with all the water in Egypt, turned into blood. But Pharaoh does still not let the people go. And not only does Pharaoh still not let the people go, Jannes and Jambres copied that miracle. And they tried to do it. And you see, God has always a true prophet, but the enemy will also have a prophet. Remember that. Every revival is run with a false revival. You hear me? Every true revival that God ever sends a false one will run alongside it. And there'll be a genuine seed and a false seed and a running side by side, like Cain and Abel, Esau and so forth, you know. But God did it. And then here, the second one is the frogs. And you think of this, the frogs, and they cover the land of Egypt, and Pharaoh promises to let Israel go after he gets rid of the frogs. And I said to them last night, the Lord gave me a message on the frogs years ago. I preached it in Zimbabwe in Africa in 2005. And I'll never forget the night I preached it. I didn't know it, my own self. Now hear me this evening. But where I preached, I was outside of the house of this minister that was very high up in the message churches at one time. But he started to preach polygamy. And not only did he start to preach polygamy, he went further to where he did things which I won't even mention in this pulpit. And he ended up getting out on a man of years in jail. And then when he got in jail, he dropped dead. But unknown to me, I preached outside of his house. I don't know if the brothers knew it or not. The way it was set up, I'll never know. But the Lord gave me a message anyway. And we had the big speakers set up. And all electric and everything quit. There was televisions going and houses around us. And when the electric went out and the televisions went off, I shouted out, "Praise God!" And you know, I don't really need a speaker when I'm preaching, especially in the still of the night. The voice travels. And I began to preach about one more night with the frogs. And why did Pharaoh came to Moses and he said, entreat the Lord for me. And Moses says, all right. And he promised to let the people go and treat the Lord for me. And Moses says, when do you want rid of the frogs? Now remember, the frogs were in the pantry. They're in the kitchen. They're in the living room. They're in the bedroom. There's frogs in their house everywhere. In their garden, frogs all over the show. And frogs is unclean in the Bible. It's unclean. It speaks of anything that's unclean. And I preached one more night with the frogs because Pharaoh said tomorrow. Tomorrow. Get rid of the frogs, Moses. Tomorrow. Ask the Lord to get rid of them tomorrow. But why not tonight? And I preached outside that pastor's house, unknown to me, one more night in polygamy. But I didn't know he was there. And I didn't know he's preaching polygamy. But I preached it. One more night in sin. One more night with drugs. One more night with alcohol. One more night with a cigarette. One more night with the frogs. And I tell you, the power of God fell in that place. A lot of people come forward and get saved and crying out to God because they knew where they were, but I didn't have any idea knowing where I was, but I preached it. And I tell you, one more night with the frogs. And you see, even when Moses entreated the Lord the next day, and these frogs went, he still never let the people go. Then you have the gnats. In chapter 8, verse 16 to 19, the dust turns to gnats, which cover the people. These are like a locust or some sort of an island. Gnats are called, that's their name in the Bible. They cover the people and the animals of Egypt. These gnats. They'll probably get right under the skin. And then the fourth thing, the flies. In chapter 8, verse 20 to 32, flies fill the houses in the land of Egypt. But you think of it, all these things are happening, he still won't let the people go. And I tell you, the devil will release you for a bit, but he won't let you go too far till he wants you back. And you'll always find when somebody gets saved, tell me if I'm preaching right or not, when somebody gets saved, they'll not be saved a week and they'll be doubting their salvation. And the old voice will say, you're not really saved. But all the years they weren't saved, the devil never named it to them once. But as soon as you call upon the Lord and you'd see him, every night he's in their ear, I don't think you're saved. You're not looking saved. If you were saved, you wouldn't do this. If you were saved, you wouldn't do that. You're not saved because of what you do or don't do, but you're saved because of what Jesus done on the cross for you. Hallelujah. And then the fifth thing's the livestock here. In chapter 9, verse 1, 7 to 1, the livestock, all the stock of Egypt die. So all the gains is going here, they die. But Pharaoh does not let Israel go. And then look at this, boils. Boils come on. Festering boils break out in the Egyptians and their animals. Pharaoh still doesn't let them go. Then the hailstone, chapter 9. Then the next thing in chapter 10, locusts. And then the ninth thing is darkness. And you read chapter 10, verse 21 to 29, darkness covers the land of Egypt for 3 days. And Pharaoh promises to let Israel go. And you know, when you read that, here's what you're going to read. You're going to read darkness that can be felt. And that's where the Lord gave me the comparison to Jesus on the cross when I preached the 3 hours of darkness. I got it from this scripture in Exodus. That's where it came from. Because when I read Exodus, there was 3 days of darkness could be felt. And when Jesus died on the cross, darkness covered the earth. 3 hours of darkness, wherein Jesus Christ took all our shame and all our hell and all our sicknesses and all our pains and everything that we're going to ever go through. Jesus took it on the 3 hours of darkness on the cross, and there he suffered and died alone, and he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And he yielded up the spirit, and he said, it's finished. The work's done. 3 hours of darkness. And you know, when the darkness finished, it finished when he cried the words, it's finished. It's finished. And this is where I got it from. And then the next thing in chapter 11 and chapter 12, you read about the firstborn, the death angel coming through. And the death angel coming through, and Pharaoh still has hardened his heart. 10 plagues in all, and he still has hardened his heart. But God has a prophet, a real prophet. And God speaks to this real prophet, Moses, and he says, Moses, if you take the blood of a lamb and you apply the blood upon the doorpost or upon the lintel of the house that you or your family's in, every house must take the blood of a lamb, and they must apply the blood of the lamb. And when I see the blood, the death angel will pass over. And I want to tell you, in 2025 tonight, it's still the blood of Jesus Christ that we need applied on the doorposts of our heart, on our life. We need the blood applied by faith. And the death angel has to pass over when he sees the blood. God's token. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. All these things God did. And God used Moses and Aaron, and they brought these messages to Pharaoh, but his heart was still hardened. Now, verse 27 of our scripture in Exodus 8 tonight, we will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God, and as he commanded us. Compromise, our separation from the world. And there's so many people today wants to make the world, the people like the world. There's so many churches today, and they want to make the church like the world. But the church must be different than the world. God calls us out of the world. The world's a type of Egypt. And we're not to be like the world. We're in the world. We're not part of the world. And the church is not to be like the world. We're to be different. We're to be a separated people. 1 John 2:15-17. Keep your finger in Exodus. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doth the will of God abideth forever. This world is passing away. But when you're born in the Spirit of God, you will never pass away. The heavens and earth will pass away, Jesus said, but my word shall never pass away. And we heard this morning, when you receive the Holy Spirit, that's the life of God living in you. It's eternal life. And your body can go to the grave, but your soul is living. You have eternal life. You're absent from your body. You're present with the Lord. Eternal life. John 15, 18 to 19 says this. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. And here we see even in the Old Testament scriptures, the Egyptians, the type of the world, they hated the Jewish people. They hated God's people. And God's people suffered for 400 years in bondage under the taskmaster's whip. But they got free. And I tell you, the world hates the real Christian. If you were of the world would love his own, but because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. But I tell you, the world's not for us tonight. The world's against us. And you know, whether it's in your job or wherever you are, and you know when you're saved and you're born again and you're following the Lord, people sometimes try to make an idiot out of you, don't they? Because that's the way it just is. Chapter 17 of John, verse 14, I have given them thy word. This is Jesus. And the world hateth them because they're not of the world, even as I am not of the world. And I tell you, when you receive the word of God, you're no longer of the world. You have another kingdom. Another kingdom. And I tell you, the king of that kingdom is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're of another kingdom. Another world, if you like. And the king of that kingdom is coming for his people. And not only is he coming for his people, but when he was here on earth 2,000 years ago, he said, I do miracles today and cures tomorrow. I cast out the devil by the finger of God. What did he say when you see these things? Know that the kingdom of God has come amongst you. So even while we're here on this earth, God's presence coming in our meeting, God's presence coming amongst us is a part of the kingdom of God coming amongst us. The power of God is a part of it, and it can happen. The Bible tells us in John 14, 12, the works that I do shall ye do also, and greater works than these shall ye do, because I go unto my Father. Here's another thing about Egypt. The second compromise, don't go too far. Verse 28. This is where Satan finds most Christians today. Doesn't want them to go too far. And Pharaoh said, I will let you go, that you must sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only you shall not go very far. Entreat the Lord for me. Now you think of it. He's telling them, don't go too far. And then he's saying, entreat the Lord for me. And there's people today who want you to pray for them, but they don't want to serve the Lord. They sometimes want help and they want some sort of a deliverance, but they're not really willing to go give up all and serve the Lord. The carnal walk. They don't pray. No resistance to the flesh. The devil is not the devil. I tell you. Oh, brother, don't be getting too fanatical. You know, years ago when I was going to a certain fellowship, there wasn't very many going to the youth, and then a lot of people started going to the youth. Me and Brother Andrews was laying hands on them, praying for them. Some people said, do you realize what they're doing in them meetings? They're laying hands on people, they're praying for them. We need to watch. See, I'll tell you, the devil doesn't want you to get too fanatical. But you see, the book of Acts says they laid hands on them and they prayed and the Holy Ghost come on them as well as it did in us at the beginning. For we heard them speak with tongues and prophesy the wonderful works of God. I tell you, the devil will not want you to get too fanatical. Not even want you to sing as people can sing, but they never sing. And I'm not talking about singing with everybody. There's people gifted to sing. There's people gifted that they could come to the front and sing a song to the Lord. They're gifted. That's a gift that God's give you. But the devil never wants you to use that gift. You know, a real good song sung with the Spirit could touch somebody. But the devil doesn't want that. And he stole the singing. But as John said, he wasn't the first one with him. It was in heaven before him, wasn't it? And there's real Christian singing. But he doesn't want you to get too fanatical. Out of Sodom, into the ark, flee to the mountains. The Lord bids us to come hither, doesn't he? He bids us to come hither. And we're living in a society today, but we've all these movements and they've all the rights. And I don't know if you saw it, but a top denomination in this country that people admire so much was on Facebook the other day, and they captured one of their elders, and this man and a woman followed him because he was promoting them, what do you call them, things that dress up as women, drag queens. He was promoting the drag queens to speak to children. And not only was he promoting the drag queens, he was promoting the homosexual community. And this prayer captured him in a big church. And I'll mention no names tonight. You say, were you surprised? Not one bit. Not one bit. Because they don't want the Holy Ghost. And their own leader said, if anybody speaks in tongues in this movement, we will throw them out. That's his own writings. So don't be surprised. But I tell you, they captured him. And he was embarrassed. And he couldn't answer them. Now you tell me, he might be in a big building and there might be a big church and a big name behind it, but it's dead. It's Egypt. It's Egypt! But God calls us out of Egypt. I'll tell you, God never left Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah. God sent two angels and he brought them out. And not only did he bring them out, he took them by the hand and brought them out. Thank God for the angels of the Lord. Brought them out. Out of Sodom and Gomorrah. And I tell you, this business, if I'm saved and I'm a homosexual, it's not scriptural. God can save a homosexual. Absolutely. But he'll be different. He won't be a homosexual no more. He'll be born again. And he'll come away from Sodom. And he'll come to the Lord. He'll leave Egypt, won't he? Out of Sodom, into the ark, flee to the mountains. The Lord bids us come hither. Revelations 18, 4 and 5 says, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye may be not partakers of her sins, that ye receive not of her plagues. For sins have reached to heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Thank God the Lord's brought us out. Here's another thing the devil wants. Third thing, leave your children behind. If they're not going to come, don't you worry about it. I'll tell you, that's a sad attitude, isn't it? May God help us never to have that attitude. May we claim them. May we believe for them. Brother, I think it was John prayed the other night. Someone inspired me about this. Chapter 10 of Exodus. I want just to read it. Chapter 10, verse 8 to 11. Of Exodus 10, verse 8 to 11. And Moses and Aaron were brought again unto Pharaoh, and he said unto them, go serve the Lord your God. But who are they that shall go? And Moses said, we will go with our young and with our old, with our sons and with our daughters, with our flocks and with our herds will we go, for we must hold a feast unto the Lord. And he said unto them, let the Lord be so with you as I will let you go, and your little ones look to it, for evil is before you. Not so, go now ye, that your men and serve the Lord, for that ye did desire, and they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence. I'll tell you, Pharaoh didn't want the children to go. And I tell you, the devil doesn't want young people to get loose today. We need a revival in 2025 of young people, where the Spirit of God would move in this country, and young, as young as possible. And God get a hold of young people. And make men and women out of missionaries and preachers and everything. And I tell you, old Pharaoh didn't want these young ones to go. I'll tell you. You see, leave the wives behind. And the reason Pharaoh wanted to leave the wives behind is that the husbands would be drawn back because of the wives. And I tell you, when you start out to serve the Lord, young man, you need to get someone that's going to come the whole way with you so that you don't have someone to draw you back. That's why the Bible says don't be unevenly yoked. So that there's nothing in Egypt to draw you back. But God wants to bring you out and your wife out. And then you see the reason he didn't want, you see, he wants us always to stop short, doesn't he? Stop this Holy Ghost religion from the next generation. That's what the devil wants. He doesn't mind people preaching a wee denominational message. But when you start talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, when you start talking about laying hands on people, when you start talking about the gifts of the Holy Ghost, I'll tell you, the devil doesn't want that. He doesn't want no young people getting filled and baptized because they could shake a nation. He doesn't want that. He wants us just to play church. Come along, go through the motions. But I would that the fire of God would fall on us. I tell you, Satan would have the children rule over our day, wouldn't he? How many Christians miss things? And you know, we're living, let's remember what Timothy tells us. We're living in an age for children are disobedient to parents. Disobedient to parents. They don't want to do what they're told. That's the age we're living in, brothers and sisters. You know, Barry Smith, brother, I went on listening to him the other day. It was great. I don't know if you've ever heard of Barry Smith, but he was a good man. Barry Smith says they took the cane out, the belt out of the school. He said that was a downfall. They took the cane, the belt out. And Mr. Wilkerson was buried. Was it today or yesterday? Mr. Wilkerson was buried. The headmaster from Dunmore High School. And I knew him well. Many's the time he caned me. And he was assistant when I was getting caned. And you know, Russell was the headmaster when Wilkie was an assistant. And I tell him, we done some badness. I can't mind what it was. Me and a big fella called Dixon. Big Gregory. We were two rascals. No doubt about it. I'll tell you what it was. I'll just tell you. Mrs. Harrison was our RTE teacher. And we tortured her. And she said, go at once to Mr. Wilkerson, or one of the head teachers. So we went out. Dixon says to me, I have a plan, but we'll do, Tom. We'll go to the toilet. We'll run the hot water over our hands so that it looks red. We went to the toilet and we run the hot water. I shouldn't be telling you these things, but anyhow, these young ones don't be listening to this. Run the hot water over your hands. And we come back, letting on, we're crying, sobbing. And Mrs. Harrison said, oh, I didn't mean him to cane you. Only meant to tell you that. So what we didn't count on was Mrs. Harrison. It might have been next to Mr. Lone. She bumped into him on the next tea break and she said, you didn't have to cane the boys. And he said, what boys? The kids. We thought we were smart. So then we were marched to head office. And Russell, because we wouldn't cry and we wouldn't gurn, Dixon said, if you make one cheap, I'm hitting you. And I said, if you make one cheap, I'm hitting you. So we weren't allowed to make a cheap. And held the horn out. And Russell climbed on top of the chair. He couldn't get the right connection on us. I told you, you talk about school soft today. Cheek and back teachers, you. In our time, I tell you what, you knew about it. And of course, we given the anno and they get up onto the chair and he jumped down off it. Over the horns. And I said under my breath, I tell you, I've had another couple of years on that. You know what I was saying. And that's what we got. But I'll tell you, Barry Smith was right. They've lost all control now, haven't they? Young people cheek the school teachers and they cheek the mothers. And they give all sorts of cheek. I have two boys at home, I know all about it. They talk to my wife in a way they don't talk to me. And sometimes I catch them cheeking. And I tell you one thing, you darn hardly put a hand on them or they'll be ringing up headquarters. And they're told to do that. But it's all wrong, because the Bible says the rod's for the back of a fool. Spare the rod and spoil the child. You say, how does that make sense? That's called correction. Correction. And you know that scripture. The Bible tells us if we can't receive correction from the Word of God, we're illegitimate. We're not the real children of God. God has to correct us sometimes. But you see, Satan's got into this generation, and Satan would have the children to rule. And the young generation had to go all the way. Young people today need to be saved. Young people today need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. God has no grandchildren, only sons and daughters that he got. And they need to be saved. I'm closing in a moment. Acts 11:14. Who shall tell thee words whereby thou and thy house shall be saved? I tell you, God's message is to the whole family. It's to the young as well. In Acts 16:30-34. And they brought them out. This is Paul and Silas after they whipped them and beat them when they were put in jail. What must we do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. We need to believe for our sons and for our grandsons and granddaughters. We need to believe the Lord to save them. We need to pray for them. And I mean really pray. Amen. And they spoke unto the word of the Lord and all that were in the house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and baptized he and all his house, all his straightway, the whole lot. The whole house got converted. Now wonderful. And when they had brought them into the house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing on God with all his house. Every one of them were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that night. But the devil doesn't want it to reach the children. But here's another verse. Acts 2:39. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to them that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Amen. May the Holy Spirit come in our children. We want to see our young people saved and born again in the Spirit of God. May God grant it. Never ever say they're too far gone. Because I'm telling you this message about Pharaoh in Egypt. It looked as if it was totally impossible for God to bring them out. And that's when God done it. And a young person could be so far down you could give up on them. But God won't. You don't either. You keep praying for them. You can't do it your own self, but you can pray for them. And live a life before them that they see Christ in you. And I tell you, God can change them. Here's the last thing I'm going to mention this. We're finally getting to the end of the message. Compromise in Egypt. The fourth compromise. You want them to leave their cattle. The cattle represents sacrifice. You hear me tonight? That's from the Old Testament. Leave your cattle. Cattle represents sacrifice. And Satan wants a works-based religion. We heard about it this morning. The devil wants a work-based religion. For people are trying to work the way to heaven. Working the way to heaven. A religion that I call anemic. It has no blood in it. And because it's anemic and it's no blood in it, it's powerless. It's no strength. That's a religion the devil promotes. But the Holy Ghost promotes the blood of Jesus Christ's gospel. And I tell you, that's what he wants. Bloodless religion, a religion which removes the absolute necessity of the sacrifice. And we believe tonight in this fellowship in the absolute necessity of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. But he said, you can go out, but don't take your cattle. He knew if they took the cattle, they'd make an altar and they would sacrifice to the Lord. And the devil might let you go, but he never wants you to come back to Calvary. He never wants you to talk about Calvary. He never wants you to plead the blood. He never wants you to work with the blood. He wants you to work with a religion of works instead of the sacrifice of the Lamb of God. Without the blood, there can be no life. Leviticus tells us the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar. Jesus Christ shed his lifeblood 2,000 years ago on the cross. He shed his precious blood so that we could have life. A religion without the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that's what he wants. That's what the devil wants. That's what a lot of so-called churches today want. They want a religion without the Holy Spirit. But we want the Holy Spirit. If we're going to say we're a Book of Acts church, we're a restoration church, we need the Holy Ghost. Let me read you this from the Laodicean Church Age as I finish. Jesus ain't going to stand outside of the door and knock all the time. There's a time when he'll get enough to turn away. Then you'll do the knocking, but you'll never find him. Come while there's time. Come while there's a knock. Don't you compromise with anything less than the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Nothing less. Like they got at Pentecost. With some type of water baptism. The same things that they did there. Don't let nothing put anything in your heart less than what they had. And I tell you, we want to have what the disciples had. The same water baptism, Acts 2:38, in the name of Jesus Christ. The same baptism of the Holy Spirit, where there's gifts of the Holy Spirit with it. Let me tell you this. I told us in America, I think it was maybe Joseph Smith, was the man I heard telling this years ago. Brother John would know, but I've always used it ever since then. But I think he was the man where I heard it. But somebody asked me about the Holy Spirit in America, 91, I was in America preaching this a few years ago. They told me about, they said, what gifts have you, Tom? I said them all. I looked at them and I wasn't boasting about it. If you have the Holy Ghost, God can use you in any gift he wants. Do you know that? I said, you see these shoes here? I said, when I went for these shoes, I never asked for prayer tongues. People used to pray in tongues, and I believe in tongues. But I'll tell you, when I was praying for the Holy Spirit, I never said, Lord, give me tongues. I said, Lord, give me the Holy Spirit. When I went down to the shoe shop, I said, didn't ask for prayer tongues. I asked for prayer shoes. Tongues was in them. Amen? Not only was the tongues in them, but there's four holes up each side. So there's the tongues and there's four holes up each side. Nine gifts of the Holy Ghost. It's all in the Holy Spirit. And when you get the Holy Spirit can use you. It's all in him. Amen? And we need to emphasize, we need to get the Holy Ghost. And God can give you tongues. He might give you prophecy. Might give you a gift of healing. But he can give you it. But the important thing is the Holy Ghost. That you get the Holy Ghost. That's the important thing. And you say, Brother Tom, I'm saved for a long time. Praise God. But you need to get the Holy Spirit. Separate from when you were saved. There's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I tell you, we need the Holy Spirit. And our young people need the Holy Spirit. And may God give us the Holy Ghost tonight. Let's stand our feet this evening. Praise God. And the Lord bless each one tonight for listening. Praise God. Don't compromise with the enemy. Pray for your children. You know, let me tell you this. I told it, I was going to say last night, but it was Friday night. I don't know why, coming along in the car, I took this notion, Sandy Thompson. So I go on to YouTube and I'm going away in the car and I'm connected on the hands-free and Sandy Thompson comes up. And he's starting to preach and tell his testimony. Now, a lot of these people wouldn't know Sandy Thompson, but Brother John would have heard of him, maybe a couple of other brothers. But he was gifted. He was a brethren. And he was having a revival in the brethren. I'm going to tell you something about him when he was in the brethren, a year by the night. When Sandy Thompson preached to the brethren don't believe in lifting your hand or anything, they're too starchy. You're not allowed to lift your hands. When the preacher did an altar call, brethren, don't believe in lifting your hands. They say the Holy Spirit will do the work. That's true. But lifting your hands, there's no problem with it. The Bible says lift your hands up unto the Lord. Music as well. They don't have music. But the Lord bless them. But Sandy Thompson was a different brethren. But I'll tell you, when he was in the brethren, he was doing his meetings, and the people was coming in. They were coming into the meeting, and he was at the door greeting them coming in. The Spirit of God would say to him, "See that wee fella? He'll get saved tonight, Sandy. See that woman there at the back? She'll get saved tonight." God would show him the ones that's going to come every night in every service. That's the truth. Sandy Thompson, God showed him. And at the end of the service, and everybody would leave, Sandy Thompson would hear this weeping. People weeping. They hadn't left. And when he had turned around and come back in, all the people that God told him were still in the church weeping, wanting to get saved. But Sandy Thompson got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and he left the brethren, and he run a tent meeting. And one of his first tent meetings, I think there was 15 saved the first night. But here's what I'm telling you. Sandy Thompson says, "We ever hurt? You ever badly hurt? Did a so-called Christian friend ever badly hurt you? And they're completely wrong and you're right." And this man hurt Sandy Thompson badly. And Sandy Thompson was right, and this other brother was wrong. And he hadn't eaten, he couldn't eat, and he couldn't sleep. He's talking to the Lord about it. And you know what the Lord told him? Go and apologize to him. Sandy Thompson says, "Lord, are you joking? He wronged me. I never wronged him." He says, "I told you to go and apologize to him." So Sandy Thompson goes and he goes into his kitchen. And he says he always could remember things by color, looking at the color. And he describes the tiles on the floor. And he says, "Brother," he says, "if I've offended you, will you forgive me?" And as soon as he spoke those words, the brother that had done him the harm threw his arms round him and wept and said, "No, no, Sandy, it was me. I offended you. I was wrong." And he put it right. And they were good friends the rest of their life. And Jesus says, we are to forgive our enemies. And those that despitefully use us. And there's nothing can fester on a Christian as much as holding back unforgiveness. Even if we feel we're right, forgiveness is the key. Amen. Put Jesus on the cross. He whipped him, they beat him, they spat in his face. And he said, "Father, forgive them." May the Lord give us his Spirit. Let's close our eyes, bow the night. If you want prayer this evening, come ahead up, Brother Matthew, as well. I want to pray for you. Praise God. And anyone else wants prayer, just give us a few moments this evening. Praise God. I'm going to pray tonight. Praise God. Heavenly Father, I lay hands on Matthew right now in the name of Jesus Christ. I rebuke this asking. I'm asking you to take it out of him. Move it from him. Praying you'll set him on fire. Let the power of God come on. Oh God, give him your desires. Your thoughts, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Let's keep our eyes closed. Praise God. If anyone else wants prayer, just put your hand up. You don't know how to come forward. Put your hand up tonight. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we thank you this evening. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Father, I pray you will forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from all evil. For thine is the kingdom, thine's the power, and thine's the glory. Bless your people tonight. Every hand that's raised, bless and strengthen and meet every need in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh God, touch me on the island tonight. Let the Holy Spirit come upon her this evening. May she know your presence coming over her, coming through her. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Do the same with my sister Andrea and Samuel. And all, oh Lord, bless tonight restore the backslider, and any listening in, save the unsaved, heal the sick. Give us a deeper hunger and a desire for the Holy Spirit, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen, amen. Brother Mark comes, and the Lord bless each one tonight.
I'll sing 305. Under the burden of guilt and care, many a spirit is grieving. Who in the joy of the Lord makes sure life everlasting receive?
Life, life upon